The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez.
And we're here with Monica Hicks.
Hello, hello.
She's joining us for the second week in a row because, as promised, we are getting to the second half of the Fast and the Furious franchise.
Yes.
We did episodes, or movies, 1 through 4.
Uh-huh.
And now we're going to my personal favorite, movies 5 through 8.
Which is really like a whole other cinematic universe.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it has similar characters, but that's really about it. These are very different movies.
It's like the Spider-Man movies with Tobey Maguire and then the Spider-Man movies with Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
They're the same thing, but they're very different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So before we get started, though, I would like to give a shout-out to our listeners around the world.
Wait, like international listeners?
We have international listeners, yes, yes. We have listeners in Sweden.
Really?
Hi, Sweden. And in the UK, how you guys doing? And some in Germany. Hey, hey there. And Brazil. How you guys doing? Hong Kong. So, yeah. And New Zealand.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right on.
Wait, no Canadians?
No Canadians.
No Mexicans?
Nope.
We're neighbors. What the heck?
Yeah, no, our neighbors aren't interested. But, hey, everyone else, you guys are awesome. Thank you for listening. And, yeah, we have gone international.
I'll get my family in Canada to listen, and then we'll put them on that
there
map.
There you go.
Okay, keep downloading. Keep listening in. And hopefully this episode is going to be a lot more fun.
Yes.
Because, I mean, the last episode was fun, but we were really subdued because they were the first four movies. 5 through 8 gets crazy.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so we start off with Fast 5.
Yes, Fast 5.
Now, to recap, we've had Dom meets Brian. Turns out Brian's a cop. Dom doesn't come back for the second one. Brian has to re-get his name in good standings with the law enforcement. So he goes undercover again and meets Roman, who is his childhood friend, and Tej, who is his mechanic. And then in the third one, we meet all the new characters because none of the original ones came back except for the near post-credit scene, which is Dom coming back for a very short thing. And then 4 brings everybody back. And
well, not everybody. The main kid from 3 is kind of thrown off and, you know, we don't want you anymore. So,
yeah.
Just Han.
Well, yeah.
Just Han.
Well, no, 4 brings the original cast back.
Yeah. Oh, yes. True.
Yeah, you're jumping ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So 4 brings most of the original cast back. Letty's dead, and then they go after the bad guy who killed her, and it should get should clear Dom's name, but it doesn't. He gets sent to prison, but in the end, Mia and Brian run down the bus, and that's where we left off.
Right.
And then they said, you know what? This franchise is going okay, but let's make it go crazy, and we'll pick up where we left off, but with a whole set of new problems.
Yep. This is where the physics just goes out the window. Like, they had, I'm sure they had some kind of technical advisor, you know, that would say, you know, this might be possible if you did this. And the producers would say, no, get out.
Get out.
Get out.
Just leave.
I don't want to know what's possible.
Don't try and logic these anymore.
No. And we will get to the point in the most recent movie, 8, that just throws logic way out the window. Out the window of, like, a 14-story building. It's not surviving the fall.
That's actually part of, what, 7?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that. So, Fast 5.
Fast 5.
Dominic Toretto's been broken out of prison bus. Because
he didn't make it
to the prison.
He got broken out of prison bus.
And they're on the run, and they're in Rio de Janeiro.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they're in Rio de Janeiro. They're on the run. And so what do they need? They need to get caught. And who do they bring in to catch them? Dwayne The Rock Johnson, otherwise known as Hobbs in this movie, who literally has the most cheesy dialogue per capita of any character.
He really does. And the veracity with which he delivers his lines is just ridiculous. Like, he is not ashamed by what he is saying, even though he should be.
Not at all.
And he owns it. He owns it.
It is so ridiculous. He comes in like a bull in a china shop, so to speak, and he just he commands the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is the reason why he's probably not going to be back now for Furious 9.
Yeah, him and Vin Diesel did not get along at all. It's well documented that those two did not see eye to eye on a lot mm-hmm. of things.
So now I forget exactly. I've watched this movie so many times, and we just watched it within the last week. I still forget, what point do they get to where they're trying to rob the drug dealer guy?
Oh, when they're going after the vault?
Yeah, because they're starting early. What they want to do is they're trying to steal all the money. Oh, that's right. They were pulled in for a job. Okay, so I'm back on track.
Yeah.
Vince, they go to Rio de Janeiro and meet up with Vince from the first movie. He's back. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's the guy that didn't like Brian. But now he's got a wife and a kid, and he's like, I got a job for us.
And Dom says it's going to be one last job.
It's always
because
one
it's
last.
Always one last job.
And so he's got a job for them, and it's stealing expensive cars from a moving train.
Mm-hmm. Because why not? Yeah.
And as it turns out that the cars are not the main target, it's a computer chip. It's always some sort of computer chip. It's a computer chip that has the map and the GPS system to where they're going to drop off all the money. And so the bad guy betrays them and tries killing them. And then they're like, well, we have his chip and we know where all the money is, so we're going to rob him. And then The Rock comes in and kind of spoils that because he's trying to capture them and it's this big thing. And then all of a sudden he gets The Rock captures them and they're ambushed.
The bad guy kills all of
Rock's
team.
Yeah, Hobbs' team,
yeah.
And that's when The Rock gets mad and joins Dom.
And they said, you know that plan that we've been doing where we're going to learn how to drift around the cameras and we're going to go full on Ocean's 11? Yeah, that goes out the window.
Yeah, like you've described this movie before, it's a movie of watching them plan something and then to the last minute saying, never mind, and going completely other plan.
Yeah, because you spend a lot of time in the planning of this movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of, okay, we snuck in cameras so we can see how their cameras work. Oh, we had to get around their cameras. Mm-hmm. And they actually spend, like, a lot of time planning this heist of them trying to drive fast around the cameras in the garage. So each one tries to take their turn at drifting around the camera while the camera's in motion. It's crazy. Like, this is Ocean's 11 level mm-hmm. heist stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden they get caught, and Hobbs' team goes dead, and Vince dies, and yes, we're throwing spoilers to the wind here, and they literally just go to the police station where the bad guy's money is being stored, because he kind of, like, runs the city,
and it's all
corrupt cops.
Yeah, it's all corruption. Yeah.
They just literally hook up these things to the back of the vault in the concrete wall,
and
rip
just,
it out,
yeah,
rip
yank it free, and just go driving
with their race cars, like not even with tanks or not even like reinforced like Jeep Wranglers. No. These are their little speeders.
They drive
like
these two race cars
stuff,
down the street, hauling this vault on chains
with very little spark.
I would say that the vault is easily the size of a San Francisco studio apartment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
It holds $100 million.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of weight.
Yeah. I mean, even if your bills are $100 bills, that's still a lot of money. Mm-hmm.
So if you do try to logic this, there are so many faults.
So many.
The vault's too heavy. Their cars couldn't pull that. The chains would break. There would be way too many sparks coming off of the metal vault being dragged down the road.
Well, it just rolls, and they just wherever it's like the U-Haul trailer.
And they bash through buildings with it.
Yeah. It really is.
This
ridiculous.
Was the start of, can we get away with this? I think we can get away with this.
Yeah.
I think people will buy into this. And then it went. We talked about this last week. Do you still have that? The Rotten Tomatoes ratings. Okay, so the first four movies are as follows.
53, 36, 37, and 29.
So the last one before this movie was at 29% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
This one jumps to
77.
77%, which means yes. People said, yes, please throw out the idea of how physics works and make it as ridiculous as possible, and we will give you our money.
Yeah, people mm-hmm. just want to see them drive fast, do crazy things, and hear Dominic Toretto mumble about family.
That's exactly what it is. And this one is the most heist movie of all of them.
Yeah.
This one feels, and I've said Ocean's 11, and it does, because it even has a twist at the end to where you see that what you saw was not what you really saw, very much the end of Ocean's 11, where you have all of them, where you were there, you were seeing it, but what you saw was not what you really saw, and with the whole changing of the vault. But so there was a thing where, as it turns out, right at the end, they were then carrying an empty vault. And you go, oh, that's how they did it. But they didn't change it until like a minute before they got to the bridge.
Yeah.
So what they were dragging through the city was a huge vault filled with $100 million.
Yeah, it was still a lot of weight.
That thing flew around like it was a kite on the back of a bike.
Yeah.
Like there was no give to it. There was no look of it. And then at one point, the car gets wedged or something like that, and they actually have to break the cable off from the vault. So at one point, one car is carrying this, dragging this through the city. No wheels, no nothing.
Just dragging it on the pavement.
And the main bad guy, Reyes, he's out chasing because he wants his money, and there's this big battle on the bridge. Hobbs gets out and blows his head off. Boom, boom,
oh,
boom.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, again, federal laws and all that, like, legit Hobbs should have been charged with something there.
Yeah. Well, he did go to jail eventually.
Not for that.
Not for that. True. But
eventually. That's an 8. And that's for something completely different. No, he literally just gets out of his car and goes, boom, boom, boom. And then he just continues talking like, I can't let you go, Toretto.
There are no consequences in this world.
Maybe I should leave.
You know you're not going to get out of here with that money, Toretto.
I never expected to get out of here with the money. I expect to get out of here with my family.
Family.
So, this one is correct. Am I correct? It's the start of craziness, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so, out of all the movies, do you have a favorite?
Not really.
Mine is 6. Yours is 7.
Mine is 7 because it has Jason Statham. Love me some Jason Statham.
Well, then by that theory, then it should be 8 that's your favorite.
No, but 7 brought him in.
Technically, 6 brought him in.
For like 2 seconds.
This is the one where they're like, oh, so we stopped being low-level criminals who stole DVD players and are then on the run from stealing said DVD players. Now we're international rich smugglers, and they're not smugglers, but they're rich people because of robbery, huge amounts of money.
Yeah, they're now international bad.
Yeah, they're bad at everything. they are the worst. Mm-hmm. And because of this, is this the one that puts them on the most wanted list?
Oh, I can't remember. That one was good. No, that was 8. So it's the events of 7 that put them on the most wanted list, because they're going over the list as Mr. Nobody is pointing them out, telling them at what number they are. He leaves off 2 numbers, and one of them is Brian. Mm-hmm. So Brian is still there. So it was the last movie Brian was in. So the events of 7 put them on the most wanted list.
Okay, but this one, what's great about this is it brings in the group.
Yeah, it kind of finalizes and solidifies the group. Well, almost.
Yeah, so this one...
We're still missing one.
Yeah, this one brings back, though, some of the best characters. I mean, it brings back Han and Giselle. But it has my personal favorite, which is Roman and Tej.
Mm-hmm.
Why this is not getting a spinoff is beyond my knowledge.
Yeah.
They're doing a Hobbs and Shaw spinoff.
Yeah, so a Rock and Jason Statham spinoff, which I am all for.
The
Tej and Roman spinoff sounds good. And you know what? I would take that. I just want The Rock and Jason Statham to be in something together. I don't even care if it's a continuation of this. I think they would make an amazing team.
Completely different subject slightly. So, yeah, they're making another Bad Boys movie. I think they should just reboot that series and then recast Will Smith and Martin Lawrence with Ludacris and Tyrese.
That would be awesome.
Yes, please.
Yeah, that's the way it should go. Okay, so 5 was amazing. This was the start of crazy. And we need to get into more crazy, and we're going to do that after the break. So you are listening to We're a Little Behind.
Shh. Gast Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 HealthGrades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Yeah, he'll stop. I have the right-of-way. Or really. Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision Repair. Don't count on it. He or she might be texting, changing the station on the radio, or breaking up a fight in the back seat. Don't take that chance. Lives are at stake. Distracted driving is a danger to us all. You can be proactive in preventing an accident. There's not much you can do when you're sitting in your car and they back into your door. If this happens to you, come see us. We're located at the south end of East Side Road just before Gervin. With your claim number, we can handle your entire claim process. Our quality repairs and friendly service will have you recommending Coachmaster to all your friends and family. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And I'm Monica Hicks.
And we are talking about the Fast and the Furious franchise, the second half, movies 5 through 8. Otherwise known as Screw Physics.
Fast and Furious 6.
Fast and Furious 6. My personal favorite.
So why is this your personal favorite?
This one has it all. And it was supposed to be the last one of the franchise. They were going to do 2 trilogies. And this was going to be the end of the franchise. Like, Fast and Furious, we're done. And then they go, oh, we made way too much money. So they said, we can do 3 trilogies and a movie. But no, 6 had legitimately 2 separate endings, technically, yeah. Because they were going to split it up between 2 movies.
It definitely feels like it ends and then it keeps going.
Yeah. So this one has everything. It's got all you need. It's got girl fights, because Letty and Hobbs' partner is in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we messed up. We can't let go of the fact that from 5. So I'm going to backtrack just slightly.
Oh,
in 5.
Yeah.
We meet Elena in
Elena,
5.
Yeah.
And the reason I bring this up is because she's not really all that important in that movie.
Yet.
But she becomes important. So
she becomes very important to the franchise.
So I say this right now.
Remember.
Foreshadowing. Elena is in this one. She's a cop whose husband was also a cop who was gunned down, so she's a widow. And Dom is just going through having lost Letty in this one, in five, mm-hmm. Or in four, and now in five. So now there's a kindred spirit between these two, and so, of course, they hook up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then at the very end of five, there is a post-credits scene that brings back Hobbs, who's doing some paperwork, mm-hmm. and
Eva Mendez's
character, Fuentes, mm-hmm. is back for exactly, 37 seconds or something like that.
Yeah, just the end credit of the movie.
And she never comes back, but
she's not in any of the other ones.
I thought you should see this, and she throws a folder, and inside the folder
is a picture
of Letty that was supposedly taken
a week ago.
No, was it a week? I thought it was like 36 hours prior.
Oh, something like that.
It was somewhere between a week and 36
Very
hours
recently.
A week.
Very recently.
Which means she's not dead. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun. But Dom's with Elena now. Keep an eye on that. This comes back to you 4 years later. So, back to six. So there, I've recapped. But this one's got girl fights. So Hobbs's partner is some other girl, not Elena.
Yeah, she's actually a MMA fighter. Like, she's ranked up there. They like to do that because they had her in, and apparently she wasn't famous enough. So then in the next movie, they had to get, what's her face?
Ronda Rousey.
Yeah. So this was their first attempt at bringing in the girl fight,
mm-hmm.
and apparently she wasn't famous enough.
So I love the fact that they're fighting at the same time that Han and Tyrese, so Roman, are fighting this other guy, and they're losing terribly.
Yeah.
But it's got fights. It's got the crazy level factor cranked to about 9.5. Because I'm pretty sure, I don't know, no, maybe it's about a 10. Because I'm pretty sure 7 is where it goes full on 11.
Yeah, 7 turns it up to 11.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is like 9.5, 10.
Mm-hmm.
And this one has so much going on. The team's back. And this one, it's Hobbs needs the Dom's team to find, what do they need?
Deckard. They're going after Deckard.
Yeah, they're going after,
Deckard. Owen.
Shaw.
Owen Shaw, yeah. Who is from the Beauty and the Beast movie, he plays Gaston.
Yes.
Yeah, so whatever that guy's name is.
So,
Luke Evans.
Thank you.
I know the musical stuff.
Monica has knowledge. So, they're going after Owen Shaw. And so Hobbs shows up at Dom's door, and Dom's like,
there's no extradition laws here, Hobbs.
But what's funny is that as Hobbs walks up and Dom comes out of his house, so then does Elena. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that seems like it should be awkward, because Elena was on Hobbs' side. Like,
yeah.
She was working with him to take these people down.
But she went with Dom to the Dominican Republic.
I know, but it all seems like it should
no
be...
there's no extradition laws.
It just should be awkward. Anyway,
more awkward than they make.
So he says that he needs Dom's help, and he needs Dom's team. Dom's like, I don't need to help you. And he's like, well, I have something you're going to want there, bald boy. And he's like,
what do you have?
And he's like, here's a file. And he's like,
this is fake.
And he's like, nope, that's Letty. And then Dom's like,
cool, let's go get him.
Pretty much.
This is paraphrasing, mm-hmm. but that's what happens.
Yeah.
So they go after Owen Shaw. Turns out Owen Shaw has recruited Letty, and she's part of his team. And so the moment that Dom and Letty meet up, she shoots them.
Because she has that old movie writer standby amnesia.
And not only does she shoot him, but he just kind of pulls the bullet out of his own shoulder. And
yeah.
He's like,
kind of shakes it off.
He's like, that kind of hurt.
And that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And so the whole way through, turns out Owen Shaw wants to steal a tank, right? That's where I get with that.
Yeah.
He's trying to steal, and he steals a tank.
He does steal the tank.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on a rampage for some reason down a freeway. Doesn't explain why, but here's the start of Crazy Town.
Well, no, this is the escalation, because five was the start. Now we're going to escalate it a little bit.
Yeah.
Start a Crazy Town for this movie.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I mean, because they already had some Crazy Town stuff, like the part where they're racing through and they shoot the remote control hockey pucks on their cars, and then it takes over their cars, and it makes Roman and Tej fly through the banks and roll, and then you're like, oh, they're dead. But nope, they go to the next scene, and they're like, he's like, man, I could have been hurt. I'm like, you should have been dead.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they take a tank. down the freeway, and they make sure that they get everyone out of the way, or at least they try. I don't know. It looks like quite a few people got squished.
You know what? They kind of overlook the human price of these movies. Like, there is a lot of dead people.
Oh, yeah.
That they just pay no attention to. Because while these movies are kind of violent in their destruction, they're not actually violent in what you see. Like, you don't really see people get dismembered and squished. And
not usually.
Not usually. No. Yeah, but
it's very A-Team TV show.
Yeah. Like, all these cars, what, are they empty? They were driving down the road empty? Come on.
Yeah, but when you think about it, there's so much collateral damage.
So much.
So they go to show up to see what he's doing. And they realize that he showed up with a tank. And they're like, we need a plan B. And to which Ludacris says, we need a plan C, D, E, F, G. And he pretty much goes through almost the entire alphabet. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We need a whole new alphabet. Yes, that's right. Plural it.
Alphabets.
And so they literally are fighting a tank with super cars. Super fast, like...
Race cars.
Race cars.
Because while they're not actually street racing anymore, they still keep the cars.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to tie this franchise in somehow.
Yeah. So they're going down the freeway with a tank. It rolls over all these pedestrian cars like they're Pepsi cans. Crunch, crunch, mm-hmm. crunch. They get to Roman's car. For some reason, it just gets wedged between the thing. And so it kind of like chainsaw rips the back of his car a little bit, like, mm-hmm. It should have just crushed it because his car isn't anything better than the rest of them.
And supposedly the tank is going as fast as these street racing cars.
Yeah, that tank was going way too fast
for a tank.
Foreshadowing earlier in the movie, they're messing with this steel cable, this unbreakable steel cable made out of, I don't know, adamantium or something like that. Is it vibranium? Something, you know.
Maybe.
They use it to shoot the tank, and then the tank flips, which Letty got out of the tank for some reason.
Yeah.
I've watched this movie so much, but the amount of crazy, because when they tell you, you need to shut your brain off and just enjoy, I do. But then I realized that I stopped paying attention to actual plot points because it's just so crazy.
Wasn't Letty trying to unhook the cable?
Shaw sent her out of the tank.
He was trying to unhook the cable from the tank.
That's right.
That's going to be a problem.
So she's out there on the tank, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's ghost riding the whip on that tank.
Yeah.
And she's there. She has it. And then the tank is pulled from up under itself and flips because the unbreakable
She was not successful in unhooking the cable.
And it's moving so fast that it can flip over itself on the cord.
Yeah.
And Dom sees this
from the other side of the freeway.
Yeah.
Opposite side of the
freeway. So because it's a divided freeway. There's this huge gap.
Yeah, because it's not only divided freeway, it's also up in the air.
Yeah,
so it's like an overpass type freeway. And I don't know where this freeway is.
This is one of my favorite parts.
But there's multi-levels,
is one of my favorite parts.
So tank flips over.
Tank starts to flip, but he sees it's going to flip over. He puts his car at full speed and puts, like, some sort of weight on the thing. And he pulls himself out, and then he surfs on top of his car right towards the divider.
Mm-hmm.
As the tank flips and flips her, he hits the divider. He
launches himself.
Yep. Goes flying through the air.
Catches.
Grabs her mid-flight. Holds on to her, and then lands on a car.
On the other side of the freeway.
They're both safe and sound. He saves Letty.
And he's like,
are you okay?
And she's like,
yeah.
And then it changes scenes, and so she asks him, how did you know the car was going to be there to break the fall? And he says,
I didn't.
And I look at you and everyone and I say, that's not a sentence that someone can utter because cars don't break falls.
Oh, yeah. Everyone should have been dead in that situation.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone. That's
everything.
Not how that works.
But
everything,
like,
crazy.
There wasn't even a scratch on anyone.
Oh, yeah. No.
No.
Not at all.
They're all superheroes.
And that is the end of the movie. No, it should have been the end of the movie, which is why I love Stick so much, because that was a climax scene. That was the end of a climatic experience that was huge and big, and it ended epically, and they said, nope, we're going to give you more. And how do they top that? They give you a runway scene that goes on for 13 minutes and is the equivalent of 18 miles.
It's a long
18-mile runway.
Yes. Yeah.
That is not a thing.
So for people who are local and who aren't listening to us on the internet or who are listening to us on the radio station that we're on, this is the equivalent of going from the McDonald's in Shasta Lake City to the Anderson Factory Outlets, the Factory Outlets that is in Anderson, California. I checked.
Yeah,
that is so if you want to, if you're interactive enough with our show and you really want to know how long the runway is in Fast and the Furious, get on the freeway at the McDonald's in Shasta Lake City and drive till you get to the Factory Outlets in Anderson. That is how long the runway is.
So you know what we have to do now, right?
We have to go do that.
All right. We have to go to the McDonald's. Start playing the movie on our tablet, and we need to drive down I-5 and pretend like we're chasing down a plane.
Which they're able to pull down an entire huge cargo plane, which is the size of, it's huge. Just to move, like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. With, like, freight. Two cars?
Oh, multiple cars. Yeah.
Oh, inside or to take
down? Oh, outside. Oh, yeah. It's like two or three. Yeah.
Two or three.
Well, this scene really shows the inconsistency of this universe. So you can tell that there are ulterior motives to their decisions, because you have Giselle, played by Gal Gadot, and she is going to be Wonder Woman, so she can't be in this franchise anymore, so we need to kill her off.
Mm-hmm.
So they kill her off in the exact same way that they
get rid
injure
of Owen Shaw,
yeah. But he survives and he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And he fell from a much shorter distance, a much higher distance than she did. But she has to die in sacrificing herself to save Han, which, you know, sorry, Giselle, you only saved him a little bit,
because
he dies later.
Yeah,
but
valiant effort.
Yeah, but it's just funny that, so the way she dies is that this guy, they're on one of the tires of the plane, I think.
No, they're on their own.
They're on the car, but they're hooked up to, like, one of the legs.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so there's a guy further up the ramp there, and he's going to shoot Han. He's going to kill Han. And Giselle is holding on because she's about to fall. She lets go of Han's hand so that she can get her gun out to shoot the guy so that he can't kill Han. But in the process, she falls. And then we never hear from her again.
Just assume she's dead.
Yeah. And they just assume she's dead. But then later on, Owen Shaw gets kicked out of the back of the plane and goes down. And then the plane explodes.
Yeah.
And Dom just drives through it as it's exploding. But no, Giselle is dead. And why is she dead? Well, because she had to go be Wonder Woman. It's just ridiculous.
All right, so that is 6. And it has one last post-credit scene. So it picks up in the middle of Tokyo Drift right before Han dies.
Mm-hmm.
You see the scene again where Han dies in Tokyo Drift, and his car explodes. But what you don't see is on the opposite end, where you don't see in Tokyo Drift, you see the opposite side of the car. And who is it? It's Deckard Shaw, played by Jason Statham. He drops Dominic's necklace. The necklace that is the biggest, that is probably has the most screen time.
The uncredited character.
He drops the necklace next to Han's car as it explodes. And he calls up and he's all, "Dominic Toretto, you don't know me, but you will." And you're like, oh, that's what's coming. So that is the start of, that is how Tokyo Drift fits in between 6 and 7.
Hmm.
1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 3. Part of 3, 6.5, then the rest of 3, and then 7.
That's true. Yeah. Because the end of 3 has Dom coming back.
Right, which is where 7 picks up.
Right, because he needed to go back to Tokyo to get Han. Well, isn't that part of 7 where he says, "I'm going to Tokyo. I'm going to Tokyo."
Yeah.
And so he disappears for a few scenes and then comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Seven's kind of weird because it flip-flops between times.
Yeah.
It retconned back in that movie pretty well.
And it's just, travel in these movies doesn't make sense. They act like if you get in a car, it's a 10-second car, you can get anywhere in the world in 10 seconds. Because they travel so much.
Their frequent flyer miles just rack up.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Well, and there's no time. They must teleport more than Star Trek does. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to take another break, and we're going to talk about 7, which is your favorite.
Yes.
And we're going to try to get to 8. I don't know if we're going to be able to.
We'll get there.
You're listening to We're a Little Behind.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home. The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or luncheon a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And I'm Monica Hicks.
And we're talking about the Fast and the Furious franchise. We're now up to number seven.
Number seven's my favorite.
Furious 7.
It brought in Jason Statham, and I love me some Jason Statham.
So as of right now, characters that have been killed are Giselle and Han, mm-hmm. Vince. Jesse kind of went away in the first one.
Right. Yeah.
But
and Letty, and now she's back.
And at the end of end of six, Elena meets up with Letty and is like, "He's your love. You should have him."
Right. Yeah.
So I keep forgetting to mention Elena, but it's also kind of important.
Yeah. Yes.
So in this one, we start off with Elena working with Hobbs. So it's been quite a while. So earlier on, Mia is pregnant in 5, and she has the baby at the beginning of 6.
Mm-hmm.
So the last time that Dominic Toretto was with Elena romantically was at the beginning of 6, because he then goes after
Letty
to find Letty.
Right, and then Letty.
So we have this whole movie where now it's been quite a while, because Paul Walker picks up their kid from like a preschool, and he's about 4.
Yeah, he's a toddler now. He's not an infant.
Yeah, he's like 3 or 4 years old. And which means that it's been at least 2 to 3 years, probably, since Dominic Toretto was with Elena romantically.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And keep that in mind.
And he's still working on Letty. Letty's memory hasn't come back completely yet. And, like, she knows that these people are important to her, but mm-hmm. she doesn't quite understand why. So he takes her to Race Wars. which is like Burning Man with cars.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because it's out in the desert and they all race. And she's like, oh, we're going to race wars? He's like, we invented it. And
yep. His race cars and butt shots will surely jog her memory.
That's right. That's
here's
right.
how it goes. Here is the breakdown of that. Because now, from going after Owen Shaw, they're still kind of like fugitives in a way.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But now, Deckard Shaw enters, which is Owen's brother. He's mm-hmm. out for revenge. He's already killed Han, or at least it appears. Well, actually, he just didn't do anything to save him, because technically the car broke on its own.
Yeah, yeah.
And he says, and at the end, he says, Dominic Toretto, you don't know me, but you're about to. And what that is at the beginning of 7. And he has sent a package to Dom's house, and there's an explosive device, and it explodes, and it just destroys the house, but no one is killed.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, because they were putting Jack, right? His name is Jack, isn't it?
Yeah,
the son, into the car, and they're talking about that. But does it happen before or after Deckard's hospital scene?
That happens after.
After. Because let's not gloss over the fact that Deckard Shaw is sitting at his brother's bedside, which is the proof that Owen did not die mm-hmm. in 6, because he's laying here in the bed. And, you know, Deckard is vowing vengeance and everything. So he turns to go, and there's this amazing sequence of just him leaving the hospital, seeing all the destruction he caused on his way in.
Mm-hmm.
So there are all these people that are dead. There's fluorescent light coming out. Mm-hmm. You know, the light bulbs are falling down out of the ceiling.
Structural damage everywhere.
Structural damage everywhere. I mean, this place is thrashed.
Uh-huh.
So, again, let's keep that in mind, that this is what Deckard Shaw did.
And so Hobbs is then... So then he goes to Hobbs' office and is trying to steal information off his computer to find out where all of the other people of Dom's team is.
Because he also has family on the brain and mm-hmm. wants revenge.
And so... Him and Hobbs, so Hobbs and Shaw get into this big epic fight, and he lets out a grenade. Hobbs grabs Elena and jumps through the window, out of the window of at least 4 stories.
At mm-hmm. least, yeah.
At least 4 stories. Drops and lands on top of a car.
Yeah. Another car is there to break their fall.
Yeah.
He breaks.
Because in this universe, cars are like airbags for, you know, the stunt people airbags that they always fall mm-hmm. into. No, those are cars.
But this has obviously been quite a while in the time frame.
It seems like it, yeah.
It should be. I mean, he even says, remember that guy that we went after? He didn't say, like, last week, so it wasn't like it was right away. This was, like, a couple of years.
Oh, and Mia's pregnant again.
Yeah, Mia's pregnant again. So he lands with Elena on the top of the hood, and he breaks his arm and his leg. And so Hobbs is out of commission for most of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Which is funny, because he actually has injuries from his accident.
Nothing really happens. Nothing happens to Elena. She's fine. But now Dom goes to meet up with the guy in Tokyo, which is to bridge the Tokyo Drift movie to 7. And basically he then finds Deckard Shaw, finds him, and they get into a head-on collision on purpose they both walk away from.
Yeah, they
no
both,
problem.
They both get out of their cars. No.
I don't think there's any scratches on them from that either. No.
Uh-uh.
And then
not
he's
at all.
Saved. He's saved by Mr. Nobody, played by Kurt Russell.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turns out now, they're all that Kurt Russell works for, like, kind of like a super sub third echelon, even more secret service than
NSA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now he has to assemble his team, including Paul Walker, who, rest in peace, Paul Walker, has since died before this movie came out.
Right. So
in real life.
Mm-hmm. He died halfway through filming.
Right.
So they were still working on this movie, and it is very impressive with what they did. So some of his shots in this movie are actually cut scenes from other movies. There's a conversation that he and Mia, Jordana Brewster, have over the phone, and her side of the conversation is new to the story, but his side of the conversation was actually cut from the 5th movie. And so they just changed her reaction to make what he's saying make sense with the new storyline. So they did a lot of cut scenes, deleted scenes from prior movies. They did a lot of CGI work, and they did a lot of body double work with his 2 brothers, who look a lot like him. And they also did voiceovers, so they would voice dub him when they needed to. So I think if you didn't know Paul Walker was dead, that you wouldn't have, like, guessed it from this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, they did a really, really good job. And the end of this movie is a very touching tribute to him. And I never thought a Fast and Furious movie will make me cry, but it does every single time I watch it. Every time.
But, like I was trying to get to, the fact is that he died beforehand. So the whole movie, you think that all of his stunts are going to be his last one, so that way they can write him out of the franchise.
Right.
It never happens. Am I right? Like, weren't you watching it the whole time going, the thing that's going to kill him off.
Wait, no, wait. He's still alive. Okay. No, this is going to be it.
That's
nope. Okay. This. No, yeah. It has you guessing. So, the whole time.
So Kurt Russell's character wants them to go after the God's Eye, which is this thing that is pretty much stolen from Batman, The Dark Knight. The thing that listens to all the cell phones and uses cameras. It's
the ultimate Big Brother tracker.
Yeah.
Right.
And so you go after that, you can use it to track Shaw and you can capture him. The thing about that is that you don't need to, because all you need to do is turn the hell around.
Turn around. Yeah, Shaw is always behind them. He always comes up. He's always there.
Yeah.
Why do you need this thing
you don't
to
need
find
to find him?
He finds you.
Every time. He's always there. And then, I mean, they're going to Dubai. They're going to all these other countries.
Yeah.
And he's always there.
Yeah.
So this one has the crazy, let's jump cars out of an airplane and parachute them onto the top of a mountain to rescue the hacker who programmed God's Eye.
So the reason they do that is because they can't access the facility by this road because it's too heavily guarded.
Yet,
Deckard Shaw didn't have a problem because he drives up, too.
Yeah.
And he didn't fly out of a plane.
True.
Yeah. Whatever.
But they jump cars out of planes and parachute the cars.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Crazy.
And there's that crazy bus scene where Paul Walker has to run up the bus and fly.
As it's going over the cliff.
And fly to grab Letty's tail of her car. And, yeah. That's nothing compared to the next scene where they go to Dubai and then they got to get the information out of the car, the God's Eye out of the car, and it's a $10 million car or something like that. And they literally drive it out of the building fly it out of the building into the next building, and oh no, the brakes have gone out.
Yeah, of course they did.
Mm-hmm.
And then they drive it through that building into the third building, and then they jump out before it, because there's no more buildings after that, so then they just let the car go. But they literally jump it between from one building to the next, and the next to the third. It's crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ronda Rousey's there. There's a huge fight. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so much going on in this movie. Then there is the part where they go back home, and they try to capture the other bad guy, and not Deckard Shaw, but Shaw there to stop him. There's a drone, and then the drone fires, and then it's outside of Hobbs' hospital room, and he's like, flexes and busts out of his own cast and says, Daddy's got to go to work. And then he literally drives an ambulance off of a bridge into this drone and then takes the machine gun off of the drone and fires it off Terminator style into everything. And all the while, Vin Diesel's Dominic Toretto and Jason Statham's Deckard Shaw are fighting, and the drone blasts the parking structure that they're on, and he gets into a fight with them, and he literally stomps the structure, and it makes it collapse. That's right. Dominic Toretto busts the thing and says the line,
"The thing about a street fight is, the street always wins."
And that's what goes on in this.
Mm-hmm.
So much that he dies. He literally gets to die in this one. For like 7 seconds.
Yeah.
And then love brings him back.
Because Letty remembers everything. She remembers that they got married when they were in the Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that's why Elena can't be around, because Dom's already married and polygamy is illegal because they care about law.
But yeah, Letty wills him with the power of her love back to life.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that great scene at the end where it's a great tribute to Paul Walker and that is the end of that movie. And then we get the fate of the Furious.
Oh, yes, Fate of the Furious. And so this one destroys the timeline. It destroys it.
So I'm going to try to blast through this as quickly as I can. Charlize Theron is Cypher. Turns out that all the bad guys in all of the other movies have been working for her this whole time. So it changes their whole dynamic and what and why they're bad guys, because they're working for her.
Yeah.
And
she's pissed because Dom has spoiled all of her plans thus far.
Yes. So she kidnaps him and holds him hostage to make him work for her. Mm-hmm. Well, what could he have against? What could he have against? What could she have against
what
him?
What would turn Dom against his family?
Exactly.
More family.
More family.
Turns out that she has kidnapped Elena, and that there is a tiny, tiny, like 6-month-old baby. That's
an infant that is supposedly Dom's child.
Which she has. He hasn't been with her in years.
But wait.
And the infant is his baby.
Dun, dun, dun.
Mm-hmm.
That she hasn't named because she thought that she'd go to, that should be the dad's thing.
Yeah.
So he has no name.
She was going to tell him that she was pregnant, but then Letty showed up, and it just didn't seem like the right time.
Yeah. And then she was going to let him name the child, but then she got kidnapped.
So we are going to run out of time. So we're going to recap this as crazy as possible. It is terrible. In the worst possible way that it ruins the... Like, you're able to throw everything else out. Physics is fine. I can't deal with time with time plot holes.
Yeah.
And
not with Brian's kid being three or four years old, but Dom's kid, who was, you'd think, born around near each other, is, like, 6 months old. No.
But they can't bring in Brian because he's retired.
Yeah.
Which means that poor Jordana Brewster doesn't have any more room in these franchises either, because apparently if he's gone, so is she.
We'll see.
But he turns against them. He breaks into the Mr. Nobody's Nowhere, steals everything, steals all these other computer things.
Steals God's eye.
Steals it all.
Yeah.
And so who do they need to work with? They need to now work with Deckard Shaw.
Mm-hmm.
And so he comes in. It turns out he's been Special Forces the whole time. He doesn't have any... He's actually not a bad guy at all. Forget the fact that he put a bomb on their thing that blew up their house. Forget all the dead people at the hospital. Forget all the...
Nah.
Forget the fact that
he's fine.
But he was there when Han died. Yeah, no, he's good. He's now our buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's so many crazy things in this. There's EMPs. There's nuclear subs.
Yeah.
And there's torpedoes that the Rock will then push out of the way by hand. There's Lamborghinis on ice.
Roman goes under the ice for a little while and comes back out and he's fine.
And he's dry.
He's fine.
He's dry, yeah.
Yeah. And there's Helen Mirren.
Oh, Helen Mirren. She plays Mrs. Shaw.
Who had a special role written in this movie for her because she wanted to be in it.
She wanted to be in it.
There's so many crazy things.
Yeah,
but
there's,
it's so good.
There's the recreation of the Thanos scene from Avengers using Dom's car and all their other cars.
And the necklace character is also a tracker.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so crazy.
Well, first it was a wedding ring.
Yeah, the wedding ring necklace.
The wedding ring necklace.
Now it's a tracker, and
because Cypher has to stay mobile, so she's always on a plane.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for us.
Yeah.
I want to talk so much more about all of this, but we ran out of time.
We did.
Well, so thank you, Monica Hicks, for being here.
Thank you for having me. This is always a blast.
And we will obviously talk more, you know, off air about all of this. But join us next time. We don't have a plan for next week.
We don't.
So
check out our website at gomezcast.com and see where we go.
Yep. You've been listening to We're a Little Behind.
Good night.
Are you struggling financially? Swallowed up in debt? Are you looking to buy a house but are not sure of your credit standing?
What does that credit score even mean?
Why are there 3 different bureaus?
What score is most important?
Looking for a local expert?
Give me, Joe Radola, a call. Your credit affects everything from borrowing money to landing that perfect job. With over 40 years of providing financial services, I am committed to helping you achieve your goals. I can provide you with full credit report and in-depth review for only $25. Let me provide you with the tools you need to improve your credit standing and your financial freedom. Give me a call today, Joe Radola, 941-3021, or on the web at jrdebtconsulting.com. Your local choice in credit repair.
With the changing of seasons, maybe it's time for a change for your family. And Palomar Builders, your ultimate home, invites you to discover River Point. River Point, by Redding's largest home builder, Palomar Builders, is located in South Redding. These quality-built homes include large, deep lots surrounded by mature oak trees featuring RV parking, energy efficiency, exceptional interior and exterior features. And just wait until you see the kitchens. Designer kitchens, Palomar Builders has spared no expense in the room you spend much of your time in. They feature granite countertops, plus many other quality amenities, and your stylish master suite. With its tree-lined streets, River Point provides quality living at reasonable pricing. Discover River Point in South Reading by Palomar Builders, your ultimate home. So make plans to come see the beautiful model home at River Point in South Reading. For more information, contact Debbie Morgan, Coldwell Banker, CNC Properties at 604-2127. River Point in South Reading with Palomar Builders, your ultimate home.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure, 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Redding.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding, by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding.